We have the Dr. and Mrs. Future Show right here on KSCO. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome to the show. Hey, Mrs. Future.
Well, howdy.
How are you in this cloudy, sunny day?
I feel a little foggy, but, you know, hopefully that'll pass.
Not too bad, huh? And Bobby, our science correspondent in San Francisco, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, you know, there are some little sun rays coming through the clouds.
Oh, good, so, good, good, good.
But it's nice enough to step outside, for sure. It's a great day outside.
Yeah, it's a spring day, for sure, here in Northern Cal. And we got a little surprise here. We've got our guest, Brad Olson, in the studio. He just arrived. Here for the news section. I think we're going to do a shorter news section and focus more on some of Brad's material as for most of the show. So welcome, Brad, to the show. Brad Olson.
Oh, thanks for having me, you guys. This is great to be in the studio.
Yeah, I'm glad you could make it in. Now, for those who don't know, Brad has written many books on the great mysteries of the planet, everything from where we actually came from, alternative views of the origin of the species, origin of life, connections with giants, aliens, you name it. Brad's investigated it, and we're going to try to look at the new narrative for today. What is reality? What is true? What is fiction?
And I'd say most people familiar with Brad associate him literally with the word esoteric.
Yes, because he has an esoteric series, right?
That's the name of the new series. Yeah, that's what we're promoting.
Now, your series has been going on for about 10 years now?
Yeah.
Something like that?
It is.
And it started with, what was the first one?
Well, Future Esoteric is actually the first one out, but it's the second in the series. I just had the material ready to go before Modern Esoteric, which just came out a year later, was the second.
It's kind of like the Star Wars series where the first one's really the last.
Well, now the last one's really the last, and that's Beyond Esoteric that we'll talk about during the show.
Mm-hmm, right, because we are coming into the full-on age of Aquarius, so all of those forecasts for the future are upon us, would you say?
We're here. Yeah, the future is now.
Excellent. Well, good. Well, we look forward to getting the download from you on this. We'll probably go into that in earnest right after a few news items.
Sounds good.
All right. So, Bobby, thanks for that article on ivermectin and COVID-19 prevention. That's fascinating. 83% decrease in infections with ivermectin prophylaxis.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this was a study in India where these were volunteers, so they knew. And most of them, more than 80% of them, were frontline. They were taking care of people that did have COVID, and so they were at a high-risk group. They also had volunteers that didn't take the ivermectin, and what they did is they did an after-study and see, they were going into the future, and they were going to see what percentage did. And it turns out that the people that did take ivermectin, it was just what it was a little bit larger dose than what the FLCCC is recommending. You know, instead of 12 milligrams average for a person, it was closer to 18. Oh. But they only took it, they separated it for 2 days, and they didn't take any more after that. So they were protected for about a month.
Wow.
And after a month, they realized that the people that did take the ivermectin were 83% less likely to contract the COVID-19.
Now, do you know if any of these subjects or patients subsequently did the vaccine or did a vaccine?
No. In India, they're just...
Starting the vaccine.
The vaccine. So this was before that time. So they had no access to the vaccine.
Yeah. Right. But this would suggest that maybe you don't need the vaccine if it's working that well.
Yeah. And in the news lately, you know, they describe India as kind of an outlier because... while other countries of that latitude, the rates were getting higher and there were lots of hospitalization and things. And India, for some reason, just took a nosedive.
Yeah.
And no deaths, very few deaths per capita. And they got 1.2 billion people, so they got a lot of people to test out there. And they're doing quite well without a vaccine. The news say they don't understand it, but it's pretty clear that, you know, they've been giving out for free ivermectin to a large populace.
Yeah, I can understand why people who are pro-vaccine don't understand that ivermectin works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and something that costs less than a dollar a tablet, it's hard to compete.
It is. So is Dr. Tom still advocating ivermectin instead of the vaccine?
Yes, he's on the on a national list of doctors that can prescribe ivermectin. So, in fact, he's going to have his show at 5 o'clock,
right.
His Zoom meeting. So you should all jump in if you can. But he's doing quite well, and he's one of the few doctors in California that can prescribe it. He's listed on the FLCCC site as one of the doctors. There looks like there's maybe 20 or 30 doctors, I guess, in the United States that can prescribe. And I think he can also prescribe across certain state lines. So
Wait a minute. Now, aren't all doctors allowed to prescribe common drugs? I mean, what's this
doctors
allowed?
Doctors can prescribe.
This must be one of the most common drugs in the world.
Yeah.
Well, it's for cross-prescription, I mean, away from the primary reason why you should prescribe it, which is an anti-worm medicine. He's prescribing it as an antiviral. So maybe that's the difference.
Well, I think rather than talking about it just as one doctor and his choice, more like Simone Gold made the point that as a doctor, the way our system is set up, the doctor has this privileged relationship with their patient to administer the expert level of care. And when somebody outside of the doctor-patient relationship starts dictating that, you run into issues where you don't know who to sue if there's a problem. So she made the case very clearly that no one but the doctor can prescribe for the patient. So I think it's kind of strange the way that you're putting it, like somehow so few doctors can prescribe things.
Maybe we'll ask Dr. Tom that during his time. Bobby, are you still there? He dropped off. Oh. Bobby, call back. We don't hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to a break and we'll get back to a couple other news items and then we'll bring on Brad.
Okay, sounds great. Be right back.
Yeah, that's a good point, Brad. During the break, we've been talking about the idea that these inexpensive solutions to the virus issues are just starting to disappear. You said the hydroxychloroquine factory blew up?
The second largest HCQ producing factory in Taiwan a few weeks ago blew up in flames, non-operational, and then in the States, creating some of the components that go into HCQ in Illinois blew up mysteriously out of commission.
Hmm. Wow, how bizarre.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how bizarre that happened. Well, if something happens to an ivermectin factory, we'll, get a clue.
Yeah. I think the largest factory is in India. That's where I got mine. Mm-hmm. And it got the Nobel Prize in 2015 as a necessary drug for the world from WHO. And so
it should be readily available then.
It is. It is readily available. Although some countries, the bizarre thing is like in Peru, they were giving it out for free and most of the country was doing very well. And then there was a new president that came in and they banned it. And now the death rates are going back up in Peru. And this just happened in the last couple of weeks.
Huh. Well, that's very interesting news, because what we're, I think, most interested in here is the narrative and why the political conversation is so unwilling to allow free and open dialogue around the options that we want to take.
Well, maybe the new president had different business investments.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it comes down to that.
Yeah. Well, the narrative here in America that we are a free country and we have the freedom to make our own choices and informed consent and some of those things that you wouldn't even think you have to question are now just like somehow we have amnesia, that that's part of our national identity. Like somehow this massive hypnosis campaign of like vaccinate, 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 vaccinate has overturned common sense in our pill-popping culture.
Yeah.
Maybe. All right, let's get into that a little bit more later. I want a couple more headlines before we delve too much into that. There is some interesting breakthrough stuff that could affect the energy field. Again, I thank Bobby for this lead. It's on solar window technologies. We just mentioned it at the very end of last week's show. But it's about how solar window, which creates a transparent liquid that you can put on surfaces, including windows, as well as walls, that turns them into essentially solar panels. And they just recently had a 12-fold increase in rapid prototyping of electricity-generating glass and plastic. So I thought that was very, very interesting.
So you're just going to be able to spray on your solar panels on any kind of surface that you want? Well,
yeah, exactly. That's the holy grail. There's even a new car coming out that doesn't use this technology, but it uses a built-in solar panel, so it never needs to be plugged in. I think it's the Aptera car. We have a link to that. It's a three-wheeled car from L.A., and it's got built-in solar panels and will provide you up to about 45 miles a day just on a charge from the sun. You can, of course, plug it in and get up to 500 miles, apparently, if you fully charge the battery. But you can get some mileage just from the sun pretty easily with the existing solar panel technology.
So if you could combine this solar window coating with an autonomous car, then you could just sunbathe down the highway. Right, just sit out on your solar panel while your car takes you where you want to go.
Well,
it's a new kind of surfing.
it's a clear liquid, or clear photovoltaic.
Yeah, they call it liquid electricity.
Yeah, and so you could have sunroofs, or you could have windows, like skyscrapers that are just fully glassed.
Mm. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean they're what side of the building it is. Even on the dark side of the building, it will gather electricity and manufacture electricity, and you could see through it.
Yeah, it works as a window as well.
As a window. So you could have planes where the wings are picking it up, but not only that, the windows of the plane are actually generating electricity.
Yeah, anywhere the sun hits, it becomes a potential power source. Fascinating. So we have a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. Let's say hello to Mark from San Juan Batista. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the Dr. Future Show.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you start talking about hydrochloroquine and the factories blowing up and all that.
Yeah.
And I thought back when that all came about, and then I recalled the Trump administration, they bought like 30 million doses, and then it came out, the double-blind study says it didn't help and it might even hurt you. And so now we've got like 60 million doses that the government has, and
The article that it doesn't help and doesn't hurt you was debunked because it was improperly conducted.
Which is hard to believe for a magazine like Lancet, one of the top medical magazines, would have to actually retract an article about something as controversial. It's very interesting. There just definitely seems to be a desire to get the shiny new drug, the vaccine in this case, to deal with the problem.
Yeah, and as we said many times in this show, the hydroxychloroquine, the main thing that it did is that it worked with zinc. So it improved your cellular access to zinc, and then zinc did the work. So anybody who's been educating themselves on the alternative treatments besides vaccines that handle the various virus knows that it's hydroxychloroquine plus. So thanks for that, Mark.
Yeah. And I'd like to point out that these are therapeutics. I have nothing against vaccines overall. I think they're a great invention. And it's just the higher price spread in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not that the vaccines are the problem. It's that the marketing structure for the vaccines is the problem, because they basically have the government as their marketing department.
Hydroxychloroquine does not have agents in Washington, D.C. talking to all the congressmen.
Yeah.
They're not really big on lobbying. But I imagine that, look, they made $5 billion on this Pfizer vaccine alone. If you were president of that company, wouldn't you spend some money on Washington lobbying? Maybe, I don't know, a small change for you would be $100 million to invest in a few congressmen and senators. Maybe a little bit in appeasing the media, give them a couple $1 billion in ad revenue, and you get the attention of CNN. And it just follows that that being the way capitalism works, mm-hmm. those with the money get the attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those with the fear spend the money.
It really is a fear campaign. When we're all afraid of something and all you hear is these bad news, all these people dying, you're going to run to whatever the government's going to offer you for free to do. And definitely the news is quelling any kind of alternative treatment and condemning it as witchcraft or something, you know? And
yeah, it's just not saying it's not a good idea. It's saying it's bad.
Yeah, and squelching free speech in the process.
And the medical professionals who are not in the alignment are being culled from the social dialogue on this.
Yeah.
And that's a disturbing force.
Yeah, and anybody who is even asking questions is being totally undermined and gaslit and treated like they're idiots because they still have their critical thinking faculties.
So just a concern, serious concern.
Yeah. Well, here we are in the golden age of talk radio, thanks to Michael Zwirling and the gang here. It hasn't gone away because we have a successful business model. We have a great patron who believes in free speech. And so here we are.
There are new forms of fuel that look like they're as clean as EVs. There's a new trial that Porsche is coming out with in 2022. It's a synthetic fuel that they've been working on. Mm-hmm. The sheer genius of our species to be able to put our minds to something and eliminate problems like pollution is phenomenal.
And it's great, and it thrives in an environment where people are allowed to research things in an open source world instead of have certain information squelched by people who know better.
So check that out. That's a synthetic fuel that's recently been announced that Porsche is experimenting with. We have another caller, Mrs. Richard?
We do. Mm-hmm. Let's say hi to Sean in Live Oak. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean. Got some of your emails.
Yeah. Well, I came across one interesting one was talking about what was the first virus.
Yeah, I noticed that. That's a YouTube movie that you sent. I didn't have a chance to look at that yet. But we had Dr. Bruce Deamer on last week, his idea that the viruses came out right at the beginning. They have been part of biological evolution since the first cells.
Millions, hundreds of millions of years ago.
Billions.
Billions.
Billions, yeah.
In fact, when we were just little viruses ourselves, before we were fully autonomous cellular beings, they were our siblings.
Viruses are good and bad, but if there were no viruses on Earth, the Earth would be covered with this gray goo of bacteria. There would be no animals, there'd be no trees, it would just be bacterium.
Are you saying love your inner virus?
Yes.
Yeah, well, also the other thing that they brought out is since there is no such thing as a virus fossil you can study, they can actually study our own DNA and see when viruses have inserted themselves into our DNA.
I've been reading people describing that. In fact, Bobby sent us an article that was an episode of Ancient Aliens dedicated to that, of there being something like 9 repeating parts of our DNA that must have been inserted by aliens, but they just make the assertion. They don't like really give us the science.
Yeah. Well, there is some science to it.
Okay, you know? Got to go to a break. We'll talk about the science when we get back. Dr. Future Show. See you right back.
Okay, welcome back to the show. So we still have Sean on the line, eh, Ms. Future?
Yes, we do.
All right.
I just kind of wanted to bring up another point. The human species has an innate gullibility to authority, and in some ways that's a survival feature. When you're,
I was with you when you said innate gullibility, although that authority thing kind of works the opposite for me. Like, the authority makes me be opposite.
Well,
but
well,
I'm very gullible.
Yeah, but
until
it's,
I find out different.
What I was describing, why it was at first an evolutionary value.
Yeah.
Is when you're a small child and your parents say, "Don't swim in the river; crocodiles will eat you." The children that tended not to believe that, well, their genes aren't here anymore.
Well, if the parents said it was true, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's gullibility, if their parents are telling them things that are true.
Well, this is the thing. This is where authority is actually a credible authority.
Oh, okay.
The problem that we have now is we still have this gullibility, but we have all sorts of authorities that are not credible.
That is the problem, because how do we know what is true?
That's the fake news issue.
And that's an age-old problem. Aristotle and Plato were talking about that.
Disinformation. Psyops. All these things are very real and every day in our lives.
So for me, I just take your word for it. If you think it's true and it doesn't throw off my BS detectors, then I'll believe that you believe it. And if I don't have any personal evidence myself, that's as far as I can go. I can't say I believe it, but I can say I believe you believe it.
Yeah, but this is especially on the case of this coronavirus, we have all sorts of authorities telling us one thing, and then we have other sets of authorities that are telling us something else. And there's certain authorities that say that we're the only authorities that you need to listen to because we're the only ones that are right.
Yeah, we need a new term. I think we have a bunch of fake authorities now.
Well, I don't know. The common conversation now, that you get your shot yet, Sean? The first one or the second one? Pfizer or Moderna?
Well, either.
How about Jim Beam?
Jim Beam, yeah, that's real. That's a one shot. Huh?
Well, I haven't had Jim Beam that much. Occasionally, the peppermint schnapps or a shot of Jägermeister. But
yeah. Good to know. Okay, that's the shot to get.
I think this is another issue. The way I differentiate it is, to me, there's credible authorities and not credible authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that trust has to be earned rather than just granted.
Yeah, especially when so many people are making a buck by figuring out who they can lead around with whatever gets their attention and holds it. Trust is not the highest priority as much as following the leader.
Mm. And I'm glad that I got my polio vaccine. I'm glad that I got my smallpox vaccine.
Yeah.
Because there I'm looking at fatalities and crippling effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those took a long time to develop as vaccines as well.
Yeah, but
as long as there's no rush, huh?
Well, the special that I talked to you first described when smallpox first came to 2nd century Rome, and Galen, the principal physician from that time, it described how the fatality rate of that first infection in the Roman Empire was 25%.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are having this hysterical reaction with something with a fatality rate of 0.07%.
Yeah, that's true. And, well, that's a whole other conversation, isn't it?
I'm getting good stats.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you, Sean. Appreciate your input.
Keep going. Got a few people on the line. Appreciate your thoughts.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we have Richard in Pacific Grove. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Richard.
How you doing? Hell, buddy, so much to talk about, so much to talk about, so little to say. I just got my second COVID shot.
Yeah.
Why did I get it? Well, I'm 73, so I got the shot because my brother lives in Ireland.
Yeah.
My friends live in, and I'm not going to be able to go see him, and he's at the age where he might go. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the only way I could do it. So I got blackmailed into doing it.
That's exactly
what's happening. Yeah, yeah. Now, the other thing, on the other hand, I wasn't going to get it. And then a friend of mine, who is kind of a strong worker and a pretty healthy guy, he got it. And he got COVID.
From the
shot? And he's still recovering.
Yeah?
No.
He got COVID. He didn't get the shot. He got COVID, and that convinced you to get the shot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he was, I lived by myself. He said he couldn't get up for 8 days, and he was very, very sick, and he's still not totally recovered, okay?
But the main thing is, I'm glad you got the shot because I hope it really works for you. And I hope that it gives you exactly what you're looking for in terms of health, you know, and health and the ability to do what you want to do.
Do you know if your friend...
I'm telling you right off the bat, I got blackmailed into doing it, okay? Only because I want to travel. And I know that's going to be what they're going to do to us.
Yeah, vaccine passport.
Really restrict.
And in fact,
that's what they told us to do. They told us to take the card we have and laminate it and make copies of it.
Yeah, it's a historical document. I know. It'll go down in history, these things. Yeah, frame it. Put it on the wall when you're done.
I'd say tattoo it, man.
Tattoo it. I've seen those. I've seen the Moderna tattoos.
Of course, once you do that, they'll up the ante because it's a game to continue figuring out how to make money. And so, you know, once they put the whole pot and to make more money and give people less freedom, like that's the game. So once they've succeeded with this particular campaign, you know, every 20 years, they got to have a new 911 or a new pandemic or a new your hair is on fire. So call us or we won't put it out.
It's the truth. And, you know, we all know this. But we're all sitting around with our fingers up our nose because you guys have mentioned, you know, it's the capitalist system and all that stuff. Yeah, but it's also a socialist system. It's all any kind of system. They're all corrupt. There is nothing. I mean, we were brought up to believe, and
so
I certainly
you know,
was.
I think that you have the power in your personal circle to be as free as your sphere of influence allows you. When people stop believing they're free, I know so many people that are saying what you're saying is like, oh, I have to get the shot because if I don't, I can't travel. Well, that's a vote for that reality. To pass that on, like, we've given up our right to informed consent already because the media is in control of the narrative and they just keep repeating over and over again that lie that you can't travel unless you get this vaccine and you can't ask questions because if you do, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the way it works. I had that friend I was saying from Luxembourg. I wasn't able to go home because she tested positive for the antibody, whatever it was. So she got stuck here. And then there are other people that can't come. And that's just a reality. We are being controlled in every facet of our life. And it's like, holy mackerel. We have to have car insurance. Other people don't have to have car insurance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's getting out of hand. And I don't think we're not brave enough to talk about what really has to happen in this country. Biden and all these people are making money. You're kind of saying, well, the company that developed this, they're going to spend $100 million. Wow. You just bought into it, too. You just said, you know, they'll spend about $100 million. They're making $5 billion. So what's the, it's just another a cost run-up. You know?
That's right.
And we're all, it is.
It's so obvious. You see, it's so obvious now that they can't even hide it. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. And so now the question is, what do we do about it?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about with our guest here. We're going to go into that. What can we do about it? That's a big topic.
We're going to hold on that one until later.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And
good luck. I hope your health is robust for a long time.
My right foot fell off. My right foot fell off, but I don't know if there's any, you know.
It's going to make it harder to travel.
Is that symptomatic or what? Yeah.
Well, spare body parts aren't that far off.
That's right. It'll be there. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, there's a few callers for you here.
I feel that these vaccines, when there's a new variant that comes out.
There's going to be a new vaccine.
There'll be a new vaccine, and you're going to be, for the rest of your life,
paying for them.
You're going to be vaccinated.
On a subscription program. It works really well that way.
Every 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, I disagree. Well, I'm going
to
keep saying that doesn't sound like me.
Break the pattern, break the program. I interesting article on how scientists have successfully performed a memory transplant. A memory transplant. Maybe that's the solution.
All right. We still have a bunch of
people
online.
Yeah, change the operating system.
I think we should wait for what's called a protein vaccine.
That's protein, okay.
Yeah, protein vaccines. Novavax, for instance.
Okay, Novavax, huh?
No DNA, no RNA, no mRNA. There's no DNA genetic material in it.
Okay, well, put a bookmark in that. We got to go to a break. We'll see you in a minute. there. Welcome back to the show. Boy, God, the callers are coming in fast and furious on this.
Okay, let's go for it. From Watsonville, hi.
Hi. I think the appeal of the vaccine is it's the one treatment or, you know, the two shots and you're done.
Yeah.
My question on the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin, is that a continuous process? Or do you have to take that, like, every morning and forever? Or is that
protocols depending on how you're using it.
Yeah, preventative, I think it's once a week.
No, once a month, actually.
Well, once a month, really?
The Indian one.
Have I been taking too much? Oh, no.
Well, you can... Well, it depends. The FLCCC is saying every 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, you could take it once a week and even improve your chances of not getting COVID that way. So,
yeah, if they'd make it like a gummy bear, like my vitamin
C. Yeah, put it in the CBD gummies. Yeah, that should do it.
Yeah.
One thing about the vaccine is I belong to the Sutter Health Group here locally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had to go online or call to make your appointment for your vaccination, and it's just been a nightmare trying to get a time. And they just came out right now and said they're canceling 95,000 appointments.
Really?
And, oh, boy.
And, yeah, Sutter? And 90,000 of them are the second shot.
Oh,
so you got your first shot.
Yeah. Wow. Is that because they just don't have it?
They do not have the supply.
Right. Right. Well, so I guess
95,000. That's from here to Sacramento. But I mean, still, it was such a nightmare to get an appointment.
Yeah.
And now you have your second appointment, and you can't go get your second shot.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm thinking. Well, maybe it's terrible. They say that there is a pretty good effect just to having the one shot.
Yeah.
But it's probably...
I've heard people saying that second shot, at least I think it was with the Moderna, gives you an extra 7% chance of not getting it. So you're already at like 92 or whatever their statistic is if that first shot works. And then that second shot just takes you over the top and maybe you're immune enough.
Most of the side effects happen after the second shot, I've heard.
Yeah,
yeah, it's the second shot that you get. It feels...
I'm just worried about autism because I'm starting at a pretty low level to begin with.
Well, if you
maybe I think this vaccination is supposed to cure autism because I'm really sure that most of the people taking it are worried about the autism that they're overcoming. So
there you go. thank you for the information.
You bet.
But
you
I'm not a doctor. I'm a jokester.
yeah. I think if I were to do a vaccine, I'd probably wait for the single shots.
Or the protein vaccine.
As you were saying, yeah. Is that actually out? Is there one coming out that's a protein vaccine?
It's called Novavax.
Novavax,
it's going to be approved very shortly.
Oh.
So there's three vaccines you can get. You know, you can get the Johnson & Johnson, which just came out last week.
Yeah.
And it's an adenovirus. But then the other two mRNA virus vaccines are the Pfizer and the Moderna. But this Novavax is completely a different technology where there is no mRNA, there's no RNA, there's no DNA, there's no genetic material in this vaccine at all.
That's good, huh? That's going to give a response?
Gives you just the same response, but it does it. What they do is they take the spike protein and they decorate it on the soccer ball It's a nanoparticle soccer ball.
Yeah.
But all you're getting is just the spike protein. And then your immune system will pick that up and figure out what's the best way to deal with these spike proteins.
Well, I thought that's what the mRNA does. It just generates the spike protein.
No, but the mRNA goes into the cell.
And causes the machinery to create the spike protein.
Yes. And it kind of hijacks the
from your own system.
Yes. Yeah, so it creates clones of itself.
Hijacks, just like a virus, right?
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it does bypass some steps. But the thing, you know, people are saying, oh, is it going to change your DNA and all this? If you get the protein vaccine, there's no chance of it changing your DNA, period.
Novavax. Okay, good. Well, we've got another caller.
We do. Patiently waiting, we have Steve. Hi, Steve from Westside.
Hey, Steve.
Hey. Dr. and Mrs. Future, male and female versions.
Yes, same clone.
We are co-creating the future with all of you.
Yes. Well, ever since the COVID thing, I've had something unusual growing in front. It's my stomach, and it's sitting...
Like growing?
Are you saying that you have a weight gain virus?
Growing in your body?
I've got,
Yeah.
I've got the COVID-19 pounds.
Maybe that's from the sheltering in place.
It is.
Protocols.
Hey, so listen, let the teacher stand up off the side. I don't want to give her any more material right now.
Yeah.
I went and got my second vaccine. Now, I had the same fear that your previous caller just spoke of, which was that they might run out. So I made sure that I was in line at 10 o'clock to get my appointment shot.
For your second shot?
Yeah. I didn't mess around. Not Santa's time. I got there on time. And I was calm, rested, and ready and showered, you know.
Fantastic. So how are you doing? Yeah. You feel better than ever?
Yeah, so it's just sore arm the first time, sore arm the second time. About the same amount of sore arm. I got one on the left, one on the right.
Are they both sore now?
No, it only lasts a day. The soreness only lasts about a day.
Oh, okay, good.
The first time probably lasted a day and a half or so. And the second time seemed like it went away right after one day.
Okay. So you are fixed.
I'm hoping I got cut away. I wanted to ask you did either of you guys get it?
Yeah.
We're going more the ivermectin route ourselves.
Yeah, I've been preserving my robust good health and sense of humor for a really long time now.
Since I want to maintain my psychic abilities too, you know,
can I ask you guys a quick question regarding the homeless problem?
The homeless ethic or the homeless problem? Okay,
you may ask away.
I've noticed something recently it's alarming. I'll just leave it at that. We've got the ordinary situation that we're all used to, but something new is starting to emerge, which is troubling. And that is homeless people walking out into the street while you're driving. And now, when I come downtown, driving down Front Street, or the worst one is when you're coming off Mission and you are headed toward the town clock where it turns into water, you have quite a bit of speed. Yeah. And you got that momentum coming down the hill. I've had a homeless guy would walk right across the street. And I'm not talking about in the crosswalk on a red. I'm talking about in the middle of the block. So I would have to adjust my lane to the right while he moved to the left to get across.
Do you think this is an isolated incident, or do you actually think this is increasing in frequency?
I see it every time I go downtown. Huh. And there's a...
Do you fear for their safety?
Or yours?
I fear for both of our safeties. Yeah. What I'm afraid of is my dad told me when he used to take me down to Mexico when I was a little boy, he'd say, you know, there's people that are so poor down here that they'll walk out in front of the car just for the insurance money. They have nothing to lose. Mm. And I have to be careful.
It's kind of like these are the people whose previous job was to hold up a sign and ask for something.
Well, some of them. I mean,
That job is over and they're just trying to get the insurance money or die.
Yeah.
I think I have the answer to that. I think it's a combination of people that both don't care anymore, they just don't care anymore, and that are dysfunctional to the point of they kind of don't know precisely where they are. So they just be, okay, direction, go. And I think we've got a mixture of people now that are not handling their mobility very well. What's troubling is it's every time I go downtown, it's something like it happens.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it might be a new drug on the street, too.
Yeah. Thank you for your report, Steve. Yeah. And I guess everybody should have a caution because,
pay attention.
I don't know what to do about it except be careful. And if it's up to you, it would be helpful.
Let's hope it's not the beginning of the zombie apocalypse.
I think that's the best advice is just be cautious downtown.
Yeah. Be cautious. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
You guys.
You bet.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you.
All right. We got one more minute and one more caller.
Okay.
What do you think? Okay. All right. And this is Pacific Grove, Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I think that guy's right as far as a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, that was me.
That's Dr. Future. He's looking for evidence.
No, I live in my own echo chamber, what can I say?
Well, anyway. I was curious as far as a lot of Catholics are getting upset about the Johnson & Johnson using stem cells from... Abortion people.
Well,
and
There you go. I mean, well, there's fortunately, you'll have options. You know, it won't be the only option. But I'm
so going. Thing that scares me.
Yeah.
Is that this is the starting point.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, okay, well, you let it go. You can have stem cells for, and then you can have abortion babies for whatever else kind of illness you have. You understand what I'm saying? It's a stepping point.
Yeah, sure. I can see how for some that could be true.
Steve, I wish that this question had come in a little bit earlier because we are in the last minute now. And
we got a guest on for the second hour.
Hey. Wish you the best.
Yeah, but call us again. We'll talk about it more.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Take care.
Good
Thanks
job.
For calling. All right. That went fast.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah. I hardly needed any stories for this hour.
Well, it's vaccination week in Santa Cruz, so we got everybody's stories.
Okay. So next hour, Brad Olson, explorer of the deep mysteries. We look at the wiring under the board of why things are the way they are. So stay tuned, and I think you'll enjoy this. Talk to you later.
This is KSU, Santa Cruz, San Jose, Salinas, Monterey, Venus, and whatever you are.